God is good
all the time.
All the time.
God is good.
Amen. Amen.
Yes. Give him the glory. Give him the glory. Amen.
So our Lord calls us to console, but in order to console, we have to grow.
Yes.
If we want to glow, we have to grow. And that's what the Lord calls us to do. And that's the word that we hear in sacred scripture. And Isaiah, we hear about God saying to console his people. To console. What does that mean? When do we are called to console one another? Well, it makes me think about this story that happened. There was this young man that was going to be drafted to the NBA. And he was sure that he was going to be drafted. Everyone was around him. And there was so much publicity, and they thought, yes, he's going to be drafted, number one pick. And that night, when he expected to be drafted, he wasn't.
Wow.
And he was crushed. He felt so much sadness and sorrow. And his girlfriend that was with him left. She was gone. He said that she went to the plane, to this airplane, and she never looked back. She was gone. In his time of desolation, he was not consoled by her. But he was consoled by his family and his real friends. And the following year, he was drafted into the NBA.
Amen.
When we think about consolation, our Lord calls us to have that capacity to show mercy.
Yes.
And when we show mercy, that's how we console each other. That's how we experience comfort. But the Lord reveals to us that he also wants us to comfort him. And it makes me think about this story about this orphanage. In this orphanage, all the children were called to, invited to basically to draw. And they draw this nativity set. And they had to draw what they would give to Jesus, what kind of present they would give. And some of the children drew toys, some of the children drew other things, that like a pet, and then all these different things there was drawing. And it was typical what you think a child would draw. And then this one child drew a person next to Jesus in the crib. And so one of the adults said, why is this another person next to baby Jesus? And this child said that he doesn't have anything to buy to give to Jesus. He doesn't have any presents. So he thought to himself that he wanted to keep Jesus warm by being right next to him. Our Lord calls us to do the same. He wants us to keep him warm, right? When we look at the first candle that was lit, it is the prophecy candle. And the prophecy candle is showing that the Israelites were waiting, anticipating the Messiah. They wanted to experience the consolation of God, that God would one day come and visit his people.
Amen.
Because the people of God, we hear in Isaiah, they were separated from Jerusalem, from Israel. And God was calling them back. He punished them for their sin. But he was drawing them back to their native place. And he was giving that comfort. Their sin was paid for. They were chastised by God, humiliated, and now they were being called back. And so the first candle is the prophecy candle. It's that consolation that God would console his people. And so they experienced that in a concrete way, to be back physically in their own native country, to be in Jerusalem and Israel. And so that first candle is a sign of hope. They had to have that hope from within. And that's what consoled them to persevere in their faith in God, to have that hope that God's promise will be fulfilled, but they had to wait. Hope is to believe in God's promise. It's not to see that which God promised here and now. The virtue of hope is exercised when we don't see it, but we believe that God's promise will be fulfilled.
Yes.
So the second candle, which is lit today, is the Bethlehem candle. And so that candle is lit as a sign of peace. So it makes us ponder that Our Lady and Saint Joseph were going to Bethlehem. So the fruit of that is peace. So the Lord calls us to have this consolation of peace from within our soul. So how do we keep this hope lit in our hearts, this peace lit in our hearts from within? You know, when you look at the animal world, you have cold-blooded animals and warm-blooded animals. So what's the distinction? A cold-blooded animal has to be in an environment that is warm, right, in order to experience heat. If it's extreme heat or extreme cold, that animal is not able to adapt. It suffers and may not even be able to survive. But a mammal, a warm-blooded animal, which we are, we have that temperature from within. It's regulated from within. So we can see that principle in us, that we can have a cold heart or a warm heart. But when our heart is warm, we console Christ who lives within us. And so having hope, having peace, is by expressing and activating the spiritual and corporal works of mercy. So what is the corporal works of mercy? Feeding the hungry, giving drink to the thirsty, clothing the naked, sheltering the homeless, visiting the sick, visiting the imprisoned, and burying the dead. These spiritual works of mercy is a concrete expression of us consoling Christ, the suffering Christ. Our Lord reveals himself in the homeless and the naked and those who are in prison. When we reach out to them, we are consoling Jesus, right? Just imagine how we express our faith to console God by consoling each other. So those are the corporal works of mercy. They're physical, right? They deal with the physical needs. When we look at the spiritual works of mercy, it is admonishing the sinner, instructing the ignorant, meaning teaching about the teachings of our faith, counseling the doubtful. Just imagine being at a funeral mass and someone is heartbroken that they don't understand why has God taken their loved one? Why has this happened, right? In that moment, and we can all maybe have experiences, we're tempted to give up our faith in God. I remember my aunt who lost her husband, my uncle, and he had a heart attack and he died in his sleep. And before that happened, he had a stroke and he was in a hospital and he was in a coma. And we were all praying for God to get him out of the coma. And after, we prayed in several weeks, he got out of the coma, but he forgot who everyone was. And that was a source of consolation to have him come out of the coma. But then they found him dead in his sleep. And I remember one of my cousins, someone came to them and said that, I don't think that it's wrong for you to doubt God, to give up your faith in God. And I was like, wow. In this desolation of my one of my cousins, and he's grieving the loss of his, and they were all grieving the loss of their father. But this person doubted that, did not console my cousin, but planted the seed of doubt, to doubt God's mercy and to reject God. So in times of desolation, we can experience that temptation to be cold, to somehow say, wait a minute, God is not faithful, God is not kind or merciful, and to turn our back on God. Like, just imagine every person that closed the door in the face of Our Lady that was pregnant. Just imagine a woman that's pregnant in the freezing cold, and to close that door in her face. St. Joseph didn't mind if he was sleeping in the cold, but a mother that's pregnant, that's about to conceive, the coldness of the heart of every person that said no to God. And that person was inviting my cousin to say no to God, to reject Christ in their soul. And yet he's the only one who can console us from within our soul. Yes. Who can do that but Jesus? Amen?
That's right.
So consoling the doubtful, it means to encourage someone who is doubting their faith in Christ. When you console someone that is doubting Christ, that does not believe that Christ is present, that somehow Christ has abandoned them in their time of need, when you console them, you are consoling Christ. Did not our Lord weep when Lazarus died? So he wept when Lazarus died. He knows what it means to lose a loved one. So it is not as if our Lord doesn't have compassion. So Christ is present when we mourn the loss of a loved one. He doesn't disappear and appear. He's always consistent. He's always faithful. So with eyes of faith, we have the opportunity consoling someone that is doubting Jesus' love for them in their time of grief. It's not only, you know, losing the loved one, but it could be anything. You know, someone praying for some particular intention and they're doubtful that God loves them because they didn't receive that intention. So counseling the doubtful is a spiritual work of mercy, comforting the sorrowful and bearing wrongs patiently. So to bear wrongs patiently is a spiritual work of mercy. When we are offended, to still bear that with peace in our heart, you know, to pray for those who wrong us, to experience injustice, that is a spiritual work of mercy. So Our Lady and Saint Joseph, when the door was slammed in their face, they didn't have any anger or bitterness or resentment towards those who rejected them. They still had peace. They still had hope. The flame of their faith was not extinguished by the external situation that they experienced. The coldness of that cave, of that stable, did not transform their heart to be cold. That which was on the outside did not turn them away from Christ. They had this living faith for our Lord, and they consoled Jesus physically. They experienced that grace to console our Lord. Our Lady wrapped our Lord, right, with a blanket. And so after Mass, I am inviting you to wrap baby Jesus in a blanket. How? You're going to receive strips of paper. And on this strip of paper, I invite you to write down an act of mercy you're going to show to someone, anyone that you want to show. It can be corporal or it can be spiritual. But I want you to make the intention to write down, to accomplish and write down a spiritual or corporal work of mercy. So do that act of mercy, whatever you want to choose, and then write it down. And after you accomplish that act of mercy, and after you write it down, I want you to bring it on Christmas Day or Christmas Vigil. Bring that strip of piece of paper or several pieces of paper, and we're going to weave that into a blanket. We're going to weave it into a blanket, and that's going to be the blanket that you offer to Jesus in order to console Jesus. So this is not just spiritual, right? This is practical.
Yes.
So I'm inviting you to not just only pray. Last Sunday, we had prayer links. Everybody got a prayer link that was present after Mass. If you want a prayer link, it has a prayer intention. On the prayer link is a prayer intention, different intentions. So you take the prayer link and you pray that intention. And the idea is, after you pray that intention, you're going to bring it back to church, and we're going to link all the prayer links together. So this is something concrete that we prepare during the Advent season, right? So this is intentional. How do we prepare for Christmas? So the prayer link was last Sunday, and you can get one after Mass this Sunday as well if you would like a prayer link. and in a strip of paper to do some act of spiritual or corporal work of mercy. So we don't want to just focus on the spiritual, right? Because we're physical. And Jesus, who is God, God who was invisible, became visible. The Word of God. St. John the Baptist, he was doing a spiritual work of mercy. What was that? He preached that Jesus is the Word of God made flesh. He's the Messiah. He's the Lamb of God. He preached to the Israelites. He said, turn away, repent, meaning change our heart, right? Change our mind to not think as we normally think, but to think as God thinks. And so be open to this relationship with God, to think as Christ thinks. So in the gospel, what is it in the gospel that we can take to heart and practice in our life, right? So we hear the gospel, we meditate on the gospel, but how do we live the gospel, right? It's not simply hearing the word of God, as St. James says, but we do the word of God, not just hearing, right?
Amen.
So the doing is very important. It's extremely important. Without the doing, there's no point of hearing, right? So we hear the word of God, and then we do the word of God. But it's not just me and Jesus. We do the word of God together. Because salvation is something that we do as a church. It's a church experience, right? St. John the Baptist preached to all the Israelites. He didn't preach to one sect or group of Israelites. Everyone. Everyone who came and were baptized for him heard him preach. And they heard that he was preaching Christ. And St. John the Baptist, in his humility, he said, I must decrease and Christ must increase. So we must decrease in thinking only about Christmas presents and shopping and this or that, getting decorations, all those things that we are thinking about. We need to decrease in thinking as the world thinks and have increase in what God thinks. And when we do that, we console God. We have the capacity to console God. Not only does God console us, but we can console God. And we have the opportunity to do this during the Advent season, so that when Christmas comes, we know that we prepared for Christmas by living our faith in a concrete way, by prayer and by doing spiritual or corporal works of mercy. So this is the way that we give alms. Last Sunday I said, you know, we pray, we give alms, and we fast. So fasting is not just, you know, giving up food or drink, right? Or something that we like, or social media. But fasting can be also when we take away, sacrifice our time to do that which is good. Instead of doing what we like to do, we do something that is faith-based. So after Mass, another way we can console Christ is by having fellowship. So the Knights of Peter Claver are going to have continental breakfast right after Mass. So I invite you and encourage you to please consider coming to the church hall so that we have fellowship with each other. You know, we just have the experience as a church family to just hear each other's voice. We heard the voice of God here through sacred scripture, but the word of God being spoken through each other. You know, just sharing our story, being with each other for fellowship right after Mass. Just a simple way of consoling Christ by just being with each other, right? And that's another way that we can console Christ. So let us prepare throughout this Advent season to be intentional through prayer, through works of spiritual, corporal work of mercy, so that our Christmas may be one that we console Christ, knowing that we did everything we can to celebrate his birthday. And when we do this, you have an increase of God's grace.
Yes.
And the increase of God's grace to make this Christmas so unique than any other Christmas we experience. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.